This is Africa, and it's all happening right here. Sanlam is in 33 African countries and counting.
Classic Business, Africa.
Well, this week's Made in Africa, brought to you by Sanlam, has a decidedly South African focus as the wave of xenophobic violence rages across the country, threatening our trade relationships with the rest of Africa and potentially destabilizing much of the good work that has been done on the African Continental Free Trade Area. Well, earlier today, the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry hosted an urgent summit meeting to discuss the situation. And I'm joined now by Mtor Tolu, President of SACI, Diana Games, who's CEO of the SA Nigeria Chamber of Commerce, and Dr. Martin Davies, MD of Emerging Markets and Africa, Deloitte Africa. Mtor, welcome. The meeting today was with SAP's top brass. You had CEOs and top executives of major companies who got operations in Africa affected by these xenophobic attacks. What did it seek to address exactly?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for having us. I think the main purpose it's twofold. I think firstly and foremost, we wanted to put across the voice of business as it relates to the recent spate of violence, because as you would know, most, if not all, the victims in this process have been business people or people involved in business operations in one way or another. So we felt it very important that the business community be part of the conversation and bring across their own condemnation of the violence and its consequences to our domestic economy and the impact it will have on the work that we are doing on the continent. But also to allow business leaders, because of our work, being a lobby advocacy group, to create a platform for our members and our related companies to interact directly with the security cluster of government to get an update on the security plans, the immediate work that they are doing, but also on how they believe they'll be able to sustainably deal with the violence and prevent any future disruption to businesses.
And that really is the bottom line here. We can't just take the law into our own hands. I was chatting to the local head of a spaza shop association, Rose and Corsi. That's the Tuck Shop Association of South Africa, Spaza and Tuck Shop Association. She was chatting to Abdullahi Ibrahim, a spokesperson for the Somali community. And Rose was quite upset by the unequal playing field. She said that a lot of these businesses operate without the requisite licensing or don't pay taxes. What are your members telling you about competing with these foreign-owned businesses?
We do have those complaints, and I think mainly we are also dealing with it in the sense that it's just lawlessness which we should not tolerate. The problem might not just be on the policing, and you mentioned to the minister that we need a structured engagement with the entire security cluster. Because if you have people who are trading in South Africa illegally and being allowed to bring goods into the country illegally, it means that in the process you affect the morale of the local economy, and any form of lawlessness should not be tolerated. So members are very worried about people who are allowed to trade by not following the rules. They are not necessarily worried about foreign nationals or whatever nationality they are. It's just that the playing fields need to be level, and we all need to know the rules of engagement. So if the law enforcement agencies are not able to police and make sure that everyone is trading on a fair basis, it does ultimately become a competition issue, and unfortunately some other businesses then tend to take the law into their own hands out of frustration.
Thanks, Mtor. Just wait right there along with Diana and Martin. We just have to cross to Katleho for the day's news wrap, and when we return we'll just get some response from our other guests on the line.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Welcome back to the Made in Africa feature brought to you by Sanlam. Diane, when we look at this, it's obviously no secret that Africa's two superpowers don't really get along. There's a healthy competition. Nigeria and South Africa, for all their leaders' shared love of pan-African rhetoric, really do see themselves in competition for continental supremacy. But under President Cyril Ramaphosa, he's tried to make things better. Last year on a state visit to Nigeria, he said that South Africa and Nigeria are joined at the hip, whether we like it or not, and we better make use of these opportunities we have to improve the relationship between us. What impact will this latest bout of violence have on that fractious relationship and the president's ability to try and repair and improve that relationship?
Well, I think the first thing is to remember that we've been down this road before. We have had similar tough talk in government on previous occasions where there have been attacks on foreigners. There's quite a kickback in Nigeria against what they say is a sort of murder of Nigerians in South Africa that never come to book. And so on. So there are other issues that this is not, it's not just about this current spate of. But each time this happens, it does provide a trigger for a lot of this kind of stuff to unravel. I think that actually, as a lot of they say, don't waste a good crisis. Possibly, the timing is quite interesting because we do have a Nigerian state visit lined up for the first week of October. In any case, it's been a long planned thing. It has nothing to do with these current events, and but it does present an opportunity for dialogue, and I think that it because it's not in the context necessarily of a crisis, that hopefully we can actually have proper, sensible conversations and engagement around these issues, and also some understanding. I mean, I think there's a lot of sort of theories flying around, social media, the damage of fake news, and so on. There's a lot of things fueling an already tense relationship, and I think that's been a real problem. There needs to be greater understanding, but it hasn't. We've had the parliamentary the people coming out from Nigeria before to talk about what to do to our parliamentarians, and they decided on an early warning system. Now, I don't know how you do that in a situation where these things are triggered by something very much on the ground in the moment often, and how you do that. But what you have to see is a very decisive and strong presence of, and government officials speaking out, not waiting a couple of days until the violence is really bad and everybody else is reacting, and then they react. I mean, that's been one of the big problems over the years when we've had these kind of little spats and problems between our nationals. There's no decisive leadership on it, and I think that's been a problem. So the problems tend to drift, and then they multiply, etc. Now, I'm confident. I think this is a relationship that will always have its have had some issues in it, and I think we just have to manage it as best we can. I mean, the big difference here is that other countries also stepped up.
And if we look at it, Martin, there is this issue of wanting to play on an equal playing field. There's also an issue of understanding what makes Somali traders, for example, so much more competitive than our local businesses. And the issues, as Diane said, do tend to until a potential flashpoint triggers them again, and we come back to the table a few years later, and all the same issues tend to be spoken about and rehashed, but we don't tend to make any progress. We're not seemingly making progress on the crime intelligence aspect and ensuring that the relevant inspectors, be they labour or business or health and safety, are actually doing their jobs here.
Yeah, Mike, you're so right, and this is what's the word, disgraceful to say the least, and we all agree to that. But I think the deep-seated fact here is that seemingly South Africans are sometimes xenophobic as it is Afrophobic. And this resentment almost about people who come from different countries across the continent who have settled here, through whatever means, is deeply disturbing. Diana mentioned this has all happened before. We've seen this movie before. I think it was 2008 or so. If you recall, leading up to the Soccer World Cup, there was I remember seeing a UN sort of organized refugee camp almost in Midrand, protecting foreigners in our country. And I think it talks to this underlying sort of, fear is not the wrong word, but this almost hatred for people from our continent, which is just unfathomable. Secondly, a dysfunctional law and order system in this country, and we should never even get to this point. People are confusing democracy with anarchy, I'm afraid, and we have to see strong responses to it. And thirdly, I think it was Joseph Nye, a professor at Harvard, who coined the term soft power. And I'm afraid, you know, what has been happening in recent days has even further significantly damaged any claims towards a so-called soft power. Never mind the corporate influence and, you know, the important health and well-being of our companies and their revenues and clients to the north, but any claim of South Africa having moral authority in the region, I'm afraid, this sort of occurrence is deeply disturbing and deeply damaging.
Yeah, our pouvoir or our puissance, our hard and our soft power here, how we exercise in that, and we need to be very mindful strategically of how we do that under the leadership of President Ramaphosa and obviously Naledi Pandor at Durka. There is a strong focus on multilateralism at a time when the world is increasingly tending towards unilateralism, Brexit and Trump and all of those things. So there's a broader conversation here. Martin, when you look at the potential to destabilize relationships with the key partners like Nigeria, specifically when we've got the African Continental Free Trade Area up for discussion, what have you made of our diplomatic response so far so that it doesn't get damaged, doesn't get to that point?
Well, I don't think there is a diplomatic response to this. We can sort of, you know, paper over the cracks, but the cracks are certainly deep here locally. And I think, you know, actions speak louder than words. We need to get our own house in order. Hard to say crime-free, but certainly a country that does not tolerate the racial rhetoric that goes on in this country, whether it's against you know, South African citizens or if it's against foreigners, is simply unacceptable, and the state and judiciary should not tolerate this. I think secondly is, again, an effective police force that can contain this, and thirdly, and maybe longer term, is a far more ingrained educational system in place that's one far more inclusive and one that understands that South Africa isn't an island and we can't act as such. Mm. Having, you know, the rhetoric we have is all very well, but like many things in our country, the time for rhetoric, I'm afraid, is over. The time for action is now.
Mtor, just as we conclude here, the summit today, you spoke earlier about the presence of the Minister of Police and what needs to be done in terms of restoring law and order. What did Minister Tlaile say to help allay these concerns that we're always reacting here and that crime intelligence seemed to leave police in a bit of a vacuum?
The minister was fairly confident in the crime intelligence that under his command, especially. Well, unfortunately, with the intelligence, that you can't go any further. You just have to take it at face value that work is being done. We were reassured that a lot of crimes are actually being prevented. But we mentioned to the minister that the perception is that crime intelligence is leaking, and we will expect him to improve whatever things he thinks is working, because what's important is that not only must the SAPS be confident that they are working, but the public itself needs to get a sense that indeed work is being done, crime is being prevented, and people are being deterred from committing crime. So unfortunately, on the intelligence front, we could not get into detail, but the plan itself on how to react and how to sustain the peace, we got a sense that there is a lot of work done into it, a lot of scientific work, a lot of technical work. You know, so proper policing is being done, but also the acknowledgement that it's not just a policing issue, and the security cluster apparently is meeting tomorrow to receive a brief and to enhance the strategy to fight back and restore the violence. We got a sense that a lot of work is being done. But yes, we are saying that at the very least, communication needs to be clear. We need to have a sense of comfort in making sure that crimes are being investigated and ultimately criminals are prosecuted. And that means that whatever they think is working, we will expect them to improve it so that even the public gets the confidence that their plans are indeed effective.
No, that is absolutely critical. Thank you very much for your time to all of you. Mtor Tlaile, President of SACI, Dr. Martin Davies, MD of Emerging Markets in Africa, Deloitte Africa, and Diana Games, CEO of the South Africa Nigeria Chamber of Commerce.
Wherever you are right now, take a listen around you. You'll hear something unique that you can't find anywhere else in the world. The people, the nature, the rhythm of the street. You can make something here, create something here. be the first to imagine something here. Take a listen around you. This is Africa, and it's all happening right here. There's a group of wealthsmiths that has invested in Africa's potential for over 100 years, in 33 countries and counting. Sunlum, for generations to come. Sunlum is a registered FSP. Sunlum, rooted in Africa. Proud sponsor of Made in Africa. Sunlum is a licensed FSP.